I want to challenge myself to go deeper after the Lord. I want to challenge you to increase your intimacy with God. And I want you to be thinking a little bit of what's going to happen between now and as we step over into eternity. What are you going to be doing? There's a gap right here from this moment till Jesus returns. And just about anybody would tell you that, you know, it could be 10 years, 25 years, could be more than that before Christ returns. So what are you going to do in this gap of time? What is your life going to be like? Are you going to be more involved with the world and doing things for yourself? Or are you going to truly sell out and be radically devoted to Christ in every area of your life? And I tell you, if you'll do that, if you're going to do that, you're going to make a lot of people uncomfortable around you. And you can't get offended or feel rejection from them. You just have to love them. And I believe that God is wanting to prepare us, every one of us in this room, to be able to know what we're going to do during this gap of time between now and the return of Christ, before we enter into the millennial reign. And then what are we going to do in the millennial reign? Everything we do here affects what we're going to do there. So every good work you can do, anything, even giving a cup of cool water in the name of Jesus, you will be rewarded for that. When you stand before Jesus as one who is forgiven, you will be rewarded for the things you did here, for the kingdom and for the Lord. And so I want to challenge you tonight, because I believe that God is, many of you in this room, I believe we're all called to be messengers. You're all called to have a voice, to cry out. But some of you in this room are going to radically go for it and be these messengers at the end of the age that people will want to avoid. And that's what I'm after. I'm after to encourage you to be so radical for Jesus that people almost want to walk away from you. Not because you're arrogant, but because of the presence of God in your life and the reflection of the glory of the Lord resting upon you. And it is possible, and it can happen, and you can hear his voice. You can recognize it, and you can know when he's speaking to you. And so tonight I'm going to challenge you with that you go deep in the things of the Lord, that you cry out, that you'll be a voice between in this gap between his return. You're being raised up right now, I believe, to respond to the things the Lord has. That you'll be radical people responding to the things of the Lord. I want you and encourage you to be a people of purpose and to be a people of substance. And when I say that, I want to focus a little bit on John the Baptist tonight, because it took 30 years for him to prepare for his ministry. And John the Baptist was one who was consecrated, who was set apart, that left the world system. But he was a man after God's heart. He was a man with a message. And so for that generation, he was crying out, the Messiah is coming. He's coming. And it took someone like John the Baptist. And at the end of the age, I believe the spirit of John the Baptist is going to move upon many men and women, young and old. And something else I want to say, it's not all about young people. The reason I say that is because it's two generations that are going to function together as moms and dads, helping a younger generation and moving together and seeing the Lord return. That's what this is about. Because I've even seen division in that area between young and old. And it's not right between, you know, the Democrats and Republicans. It's not right. Forget all that stuff. Be a citizen of the kingdom of God. And don't worry about that stuff. Don't fight over that political mess, because both parties are in a mess. Our system is in a mess. But this is why we have to be those that shine brightly in the midst of great controversy and great darkness. Human trafficking, many different things are happening, and they're rising across the earth. Things are getting dark, and I'm going to read some scripture about that just in a minute. A lot of people are in despair. But John the Baptist was a wild one. And I believe we got a bunch of wild ones in this place even tonight, because the Lord even gave one man a dream about tonight, saying you got to come tonight because of the message and the worship that you have to hear. Because God wants to challenge you through someone like me And I'm just a commoner. That's all I can tell you. I just love Jesus. That's the way it happened with me. And I've got a lot, I've done a lot of things wrong, but this is what I've learned. That when you make a bad decision, you get right back up because you've made good decisions too. And if you waver in the things of faith, if you're wavering even right now, you waver for a while, but then you get right back on the path with Jesus. You don't stop. And that's what God wants in all of us. Because we're going to waver, we're going to make some bad decisions, and we've got to have grace for each other. But we grow in this. But the end result is that we're radical people responding to Jesus and loving him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. There is no place for lukewarmness in the body of Christ, especially now. And that is going to be, that's going to be the onslaught of the enemy to try to cool all of us off. He doesn't like hot. Even though he's going to live in it forever. He doesn't like hot in the ways of the Lord. And he'll do everything he can to distract you and lead you away from your calling and your destiny and your purpose and who you are. Can I want to share this personally. When I've been wavering and like indecisive and trying to walk this out, it's a miserable place for me. It's a hard place to be. But when my heart is close to the flame and burning and I'm on fire for the Lord and I know that I'm hearing his voice and I'm right there, I'm resting in the yoke of Christ. I'm in the yoke, okay? Does that make sense? And the only way you get to the yoke is through spiritual violence. And spiritual violence, men and women who are spiritually violent take the kingdom forcefully, and that spiritual violence is wholehearted abandonment onto the things of Jesus. Not onto the things of religion, but onto the things of Jesus. And when I'm wholehearted and I'm in that place of passion, when I'm in that place with him, I'm in the yoke. And in that yoke, it's easy. When I'm wavering, it's very hard. It's very hard. So where are you? Where am I? Am I in the yoke? Am I in that place where it's easy? John the Baptist was radical, but here's something John had. He had joy. He had joy. Need to be a people of joy. 30 years, radical devotion, wholehearted abandonment, John the Baptist. Jesus said this about him. He was the greatest man ever born. And I want to encourage you guys, get when you start going places to hear what the Lord has, get your pens out, get your ink out. And start writing down things, because God is going to start giving all of you little nuggets. You don't want to miss them. You don't want to forget them. So get your pens out. Ink what you think, okay? Get it down. And then you could hold on to this stuff, because he's going to give you little portions of things, little phrases, little one-liners. You'll get 2 months out of one-liner if it's of the Holy Spirit and it's of the Word of the Lord. You'll get 2 months out of it. I've had that happen to me. Like, woo, thank you, Lord. John the Baptist lived in the Spirit, a spirit of dedication, absolute dedication. I can't answer this, but this is my son who went to college and playing football, and he had his first full pads practice, and he's going to have to understand that I'd rather preach right now than answer this, even though that's really hard. I just wanted to make sure he was calling. I love that guy. Oh, let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about my son. I think maybe that's what this is. My son just went to a college. We looked and for many different colleges for him to go to play football. He had some good, scholarships at different places. And one place was close to Full Ride, big schools. And then he had a lot of smaller schools. And then by accident, he's at grandma's house, my mother-in-law, and he hits on her iPad, and all of a sudden this Greenville College comes up. Greenville College. And so he goes, Christian College. And he looks at it, and he says, Dad, there's something about Greenville College. I said, where is it? He says, it's in Southern Illinois. I said, okay, well, let's check it out. He checked it out. We end up going there. Mom and I dropped him off last Tuesday, and we had the coach, Ordell Walker, speak to us about what he's doing with this team. This is radical Christianity. This coach's wife first gets up and says, listen, we want you to know we get paid here, but we want you to know this is a ministry to us. We are going after your boys. Okay? And I'm sitting there going, you know, we're going after your boys. And if anything happens to them, we're going to be ministering to them. I know that look on the face because I got two sons, she says. You know, and then Ordell gets up there and he starts speaking. He says, listen, the reason I'm here is because of ministry. I'm not here. He says, definitely I want to win championships. He said, but the standard is not Tim Tebow. The standard is not the coach of Indianapolis that just left. Who is it? Yeah, Tony Dungy. He said, that's not the standard. He said, they're great men. He said, but the standard is Jesus Christ and what the Lord lays out. We're not going to be somebody famous. We're going to create men that know the word of God and live it and be good, become great men and great husbands. I'm sitting there going, where am I? And it's like they're on fire because they're radical. He's radical. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, that's good. Let's see how it happens. My son calls yesterday, and he says to me, Dad, I feel like I'm in heaven. I said, what do you mean? He said, you wouldn't believe this. He says, we're having two-hour prayer meetings after practice. He said, and we've got an open mic, and we're going up there, and we're crying out for each other. And he said, we just had this message about the tongue and the power of the tongue. It just blew me away. And he said, it's crazy. He said, I just had a Bible study with four other football players in my room. And he's like going, he can't believe it. He says, it's like heaven. So maybe after today, it changed because full of pads. But he just is blown away. And I'm thinking, here you go. Here you go. This is radical Christianity. And then Coach Walker, this is part of the message. Coach Walker says, okay, I'm going to give you parents the big five here that I'm going to give to all these boys tomorrow. And this is the big five, and they're going to sign a sacred agreement with us. And he said, if they don't do this, then they're going to be suspended. They're going to be off the team. It's an agreement. And this is a Christian university, okay? And so the first agreement was no drinking. He said, we decided we're not drinking. We're not going to drink off the field, anything, no drinking. He said, no, that's number one. Number two, no profanity whatsoever. He said, no profanity. He said, and if one of the coaches slip, then he'll get in front of everybody and he'll apologize, okay, if one of the coaches slip. Number three, he said, they're going to go to chapel two or three times a week, and they're going to commit to that and worship. Said, number four, okay, what did I say? I said drinking. Okay, profanity. Did I say that? Oh, drugs. No drugs whatsoever. No enhancement, nothing. And here's number five, no premarital sex. Wow. Laying it down because they want to be radical. They want to create men. They want men that will honor women. And I'm just blown away because we are not alone. It is happening all over the earth. Amen. Amen. Okay, I had to say that. I had to share that. Okay, so God is raising up many men and women with the same dedication. And I believe that the reason he's doing this is because of the generation that you're in for the return of the Lord. If you'll turn to Isaiah chapter 24, I want to just read a couple scriptures here, and it's going to sound like despair, but this scripture is talking about the condition of the world before the Lord returns. And this is in Isaiah 24. It's, of course, the whole word is prophetic, but Isaiah is very prophetic about the things that are about ready to take place. And so it says in verse 4, 24:4, it says, This is how the earth is so defiled in a dark time. And you see morality just decreasing continuously in our society. It says the earth mourns and withers, and the world fades and withers. The exalted of the people of the earth fade away. The earth is also polluted by its inhabitants, for they transgressed the laws, violated statutes, broke the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse devours the earth, and those who live in it are held guilty. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men and women are left. This paints a real, real despair picture. But look at verse 10. It says, the city of chaos is broken down. Every house is shut up so that none may enter. This is some pretty dark times that are beginning to happen. And that's what the scripture is about that's going to take place. But look at verse 14. And this is why I want you to look at verse 14. In the middle of this, all of a sudden, things begin to shift and change. And all of a sudden, there's these people that are singing. and crying out and in love with Jesus and radical for the Lord. In verse 14, it says, they raise their voices, they shout for joy, they cry out from the west concerning the majesty of the Lord. Therefore, glorify the Lord in the east, the name of the Lord of God of Israel in the coastlands of the sea. From the ends of the earth, we hear songs, glory to the righteous one. So look at what's happening. Right in the midst of all this darkness and despair, all of a sudden, boom, the singers start singing. The musicians start playing. The intercessors are crying out. And there's a song that begins to be released on the earth. You guys with me on that? You understand what's happening? You need to be able to see that and understand that, okay? And know that this is really happening. Isaiah, you need to understand Isaiah. Okay, let's keep going here a little bit. I'll stop right there. I won't read any more of Isaiah. So we see things. We see the decay of morality right now in our nation. And how many of you know that the name of Jesus is being defiled all over the place? Even now, as we're speaking. Verse 14, again, it's a dark hour, and the Lord is going to raise up a song. I've believed the new song has always been a love song of passionate lovers, wholehearted lovers for God, and they can't hold it back anymore. So they're so in love with Jesus, and the song begins to move forward in the middle of great darkness. It's a worldwide song also. It's not just in one place. It's going to happen all over the earth, and it's going to make a lot of wrong things right. And so I encourage all of you and myself, don't live in some sort of bubble of Christianity or bubble of the world. Get your heart burning before the Lord. Do anything you can to stay close to Him. We can't ignore all the suffering going around us, and we have to be able to sing in the midst of that. We're living in a gap between now and the return of our Messiah. John the Baptist was on fire because the Messiah was coming. We are going to be on fire, and God says He's going to pour out His Spirit because Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is returning to earth to set up His kingdom. So I encourage you to look at the lifestyle of John the Baptist. We're going to have voices that's going to usher in the king. Turn to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. I love this chapter because it's talking about the promises of the covenant. It's talking about the promises of the Lord coming. And then right in verse 10, it says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing His praise from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it. You islands and those who dwell in them. Let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voices. So in the midst of this great darkness and terrible time, these voices are going to begin to rise to heaven. Sing aloud, it says. Let them shout for joy from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare His praise in the coastlands. The Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse His zeal like a man of war. He will utter a shout, yes. He will raise a war cry. He will prevail against His enemies. God's calling all of us globally to be part of that group that sings and stands with the Lord. I hope that God and the Holy Spirit will give you a vision for this. That's the reason I'm sharing it, that you'll get a vision for what's about to take place. You'll be able to speak it to others. You'll be able to know the word, and you'll be able to teach it to other people. But I want you tonight to not be distracted and know what the word is saying. Can you make a devotion? Can you say to the Lord, I'm going to devote my life radically to this period of time before He comes back? What if you even took your life and you just said, man, I'm going to lay it down for the next 7 weeks. Man, I'm going to do away. I'm going to fast a bunch of stuff that I know is distracting me. I'm going to fast some movies. I'm going to fast a bunch of things. And I'm just going to stay in that place before Him. When I go to bed at night, I'm going to meditate on the Word. Meditate like on one scripture or one word and just speak that over and over and begin to see what your night seasons will be all about. You see, this is a radical cry. And this is going to shake most of us. Because God doesn't want us to live in lukewarm Christianity. He wants us to be on fire for Him. And I want you to get a vision for that tonight. Get a vision for that. What would you do? What would you say to the Lord right now if you had a chance to speak to Him? What can you do in your life to change your life, to be a life of more devotion than ever before? And I'm not talking about being religious or for a show for somebody. I'm talking about in the quiet place when you're away from everyone. I'm talking about a time of consecration. Don't drink of the well of the world any longer. And begin to drink of the well of the Spirit and of the Word of God. Because God is wanting you. God's desiring you. He wants you to come. Look at the songs we sang tonight. Let those songs, they might be just burning inside you, and that's awesome. But maybe they mean nothing to you. But you're saved and you know the Lord. Ask God to stir you and put a longing in your heart for Him. I believe we're in a place, I've always said He's preparing us for what He has prepared for us. We need to be prepared. We need to prepare for being prepared. Does that make sense? We need to prepare for being prepared. We need to really think this through about what is this going to look like instead of being overwhelmed. We can't be half-hearted. We've got to be wholehearted lovers. That the Lord wants you to desire Him, and He desires you and wants to know you. John the Baptist, he was bold, but he heard a voice. He heard the voice of the bridegroom. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to close it up with that. Matthew chapter 11. If you have any time, spend some time in Matthew chapter 11, because it's really talking about wholeheartedness. In chapter 11, verse 11, I read it earlier, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there is none arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he, because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us," what Jesus has done for us. "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men and women take it by force." It goes on to say in verse 16, "But to what shall I compare this generation?" Jesus is saying, what shall I compare this generation, the one right now that has the Messiah standing in front of them? He said it's like children sitting in the marketplace who call out to other children and say, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance, and we sang the dirge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking," you know that. But it's like children. One of the things that I wrote down, it's like kids. These kids. During that generation, Jesus says, like a bunch of kids playing games with the truth. The flute represents the wedding, the beautiful wedding. The dirge represents the coming judgments. And he's saying, you guys are just like kids playing games with the truth. And here we are, ready to usher in the return of the King. And are we really prepared? Are we on fire? Are we so comfortable with our religious systems or our denominations that we can't really lay everything down and go and do anything that He says? It says in Haggai that got so comfortable in their paneled houses that they let the house of the Lord be forsaken because they got comfortable. How comfortable are you? How uncomfortable do you want to be? How much do you want to ask God even tonight to stir you, to put a spirit on you of John the Baptist? Do you really want that? I believe that we need that. I believe the only way we can exist is to be that radical. And I think that radical is normal. I really do. And I'm asking the Lord right now, stir me more, help me. I've been kind of wobbling a little bit. Get me back to where I need to be. As I say yes, help me come out of some things that have distracted me. Anytime you enter into a ministry, everybody thinks they can always do ministry better than the other person until they walk through that door and they have the responsibilities of it. And then all of a sudden it looks a little different. And the Lord is like even asking me, can you lay everything down? Can you take off and go hang out with Heidi Baker for 6 months? Can you do that? Can you lay this whole ministry down and just come away with me? I mean, those are the questions that I feel like the Lord is asking. I'm being real blatantly kingdom here. Will you come away and worship me? Will you be with me? Will I be your focus? I feel like God says to me sometimes, do you have any idea
what I could do with your life if it was fully, absolutely surrendered completely. We can talk it. We can talk it real good. And I'm sure, you know, when I first came to the Lord, every person I laid hands on, the Holy Spirit showed up, and they were just like stunned, and so was I. Couldn't believe God was doing it. In those radical days, I used to hang out with another person outside the bars, the doors that I used to play drums in, and I'd wait for him to come out. And I'd lay hands on them, and they'd start weeping and crying. They couldn't even understand what it was. Because it was in the midst of the Jesus movement in the 70s, and God was just all over the place. It was easy. But it's almost like God is saying, you know, I'm coming, and my presence and my glory is coming, but it's not coming cheap. You know, salvation, me getting saved, you getting saved is free. But where we're at right now, God's saying, you're going to press into this. You're going to need to press into this in order to be wholehearted, in order to be abandoned to the things of the Lord. This is not free. I don't believe it is. You can, you know, doubt me on that. You can talk about it. But this is something you press into. We have to be hungry, I believe. Blessed are the hungry, for they will be what? Filled. If we're not hungry for him, how are we going to be filled? We never want to remain the way we are. And here's the thing, guys. When you begin to move in different dimensions of the Holy Spirit and God's favor and blessing, one thing you need more than anything else is humility and meekness. Because you can get so puffed up so quickly. I've watched revival after revival. I've been a part of a couple that I've attended where it's went bad. Because all of a sudden pride and people get puffed up because they think it's them. Or they think, now what, we got to keep doing things. I'm telling you, when we think we got to do things to make the Holy, like you know, we got to do a show for God to come, I'm telling you, a broken and meek spirit will bring the Lord faster than anything, okay? And he's not going to give. This is the last great harvest. This is the last great movement of the age. This is the last great outpouring. This is the latter rain. Is going to be greater than the former. He is not going to allow that just to come for people to take it up and do a dog and pony show around the nations. Okay? He's going to do it because people have been wholehearted. They don't want anything else. They don't want fame or fortune. They don't want their name in lights. Remember what I said earlier? Great. Tim Tebow, he's great. I like who he is and what he stands for. But he's not the standard. Jesus is the standard. The Word of God is the standard. Michael, would you come up? Team, if you're here. So what I'm talking about tonight is wholeheartedness. And so tonight, if you can pray and you can worship and you can ask God, God, I want to respond. I want to know what it means to respond to you with my whole heart. I want to be ready for the flute when it plays, I want the wedding song. I want to be ready for the judgment that begins to hit the earth. And I know a lot of you, you know, are counting, maybe some of you, are counting on the rapture. Well, there's going to be a rapture, but I wouldn't count on when it is supposed to be. Because it's a church without spot or wrinkle. And I guarantee you, I haven't seen much without spot and wrinkle unless there's a real lot of trial going on. And when trial and suffering comes, man, we get right with God. And that's how unity is going to happen. You were made, and I just pray this tonight, you were made to take your mind and your soul to the waters of faith, to drink in. And if you waver after tonight, you go back to him. I'm talking about going all the way with Christ. What I said earlier about the spiritual violence, getting in the yoke where it becomes easy. Children can do this, guys. We need to become like children. Would you guys stand with me? Let's just pray. Lord, I'm asking that you would reveal more mysteries to us about who you are. This generation, Lord, let us become fearless and stand for righteousness like John the Baptist did. He wasn't shrinking back. And so, Lord, I ask that even tonight, there are singers and musicians and intercessors and preachers, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists. We ask God that you would help us to stand. And Holy Spirit, would you just confirm in us tonight that this is a special night that we say yes again to become wholehearted. And if there's anyone in this room that wants to flow in the spirit of John the Baptist, to be fearless, I just want you to just come to the altar. You can stay seated too. You don't have to come, but if you're feeling a little nudge, go ahead and come up and let's just pray over you and pray over everyone. We want to enter into that place that you say in your word. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I am the one who will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Lord, we want to enter into the yoke tonight. We want to take your yoke and enter into that place of rest for our souls, because your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Lord, let us be so wholehearted that we lay everything down for you and we're not worried about anything that people may try to take away from us, because we're yours. Oh, Lord, I pray right now that the spirit of John the Baptist, the fire of John the Baptist, that same spirit, that wholehearted, violent heart, forceful man, that same spirit would rest on us. That today, God, that you would move upon your people only because we ask and only because we come, Lord, in humility and ask rightly. Will you touch us? Will you help us to stay meek and humble? Will you help us through servanthood to learn how to serve like you did? God, will you help us to eat the scroll tonight, to love your word and devour your word and meditate upon your word? So when the song arises in the midst of great despair, that we would be the singers, God. Because of love, we want to sing. We want to move in the new song. Let the spirit of John the Baptist fall on us tonight. That fire, that anointing, you said it would come. Yes, Lord. Let's just stay in this place for a while. Just worship him with all of our heart. We're responding with all of our heart, God. Help us. Help us. Help us fight for the mysteries of your word. Blessed are the hungry, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the hungry, for they shall be filled. Increase our hunger. Let's stand for righteousness. Let's turn away. Let us be quick to obedience. Turn away from those temptations quickly, fast. Let's go. Obedience, Lord. Just tell him how you love him. Let's go. Thank you, Lord. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Just let it rest. No distractions. Just let it rest. Yes. Just open your hands to receive. Thank you.
undistracted devotion to you. A vision for the time in which we're headed, that we would live a life, that we would learn how to get away from the distractions that keep us from being so devoted to you. And so, Lord, I thank you, and may tonight be just a time that our hearts get close to the flame of your love, and we just desire to know you more. May we meditate on your word as we go to sleep tonight. May we lay it on our chest and just know that this is the way that we're ready for the gap that's in between this time and your return. Thank you again for these men and women who love you. I ask, God, that you give them great revelation, wisdom and understanding, the knowledge of who you are. I ask that you root every one of us in your love, and that your word would run swiftly through our lives, that we would be men and women of the word. I just thank you again, God, for this night, for this gathering. It means so much to you, and it means so much to us. We love you. Now be with everyone, God, as they go into their separate ministries and homes, and may we see the kingdom of God advance in this region called Michiana for your glory and for your honor, in great humility, but great joy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We just let people keep praying. God bless you. Just go with that, what you committed tonight to the Lord, and just stay close to Him and be wholehearted lovers for God. Wholehearted, a single-eyed focus of affection upon Him. Jesus, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Chris, please.